center our hearts on that fact that we do need the Lord so very, very much. And we need his guidance that comes from his word. And it makes things clear and helpful. Father God, I come to you this morning and I want to just ask, Lord, as we open up your word, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, some of the things that we read in your word are challenging. And Lord, it would be impossible to do those things without the work of the Word and the Holy Spirit in the midst of our heart. I pray, dear God, that you would take away the distractions now for a moment from us. And I ask, dear God, that you would just speak to our hearts. Take me out of the way. I pray, dear God, that you would just guide my thoughts as I try to share your Word. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just take the Word to each one of us, Lord, starting right up here with me. And Lord, be clear and convict where we need to convict, comfort us where we need comfort, and challenge us where we need challenge. And Lord, I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are continuing our series of well-practiced faith as we kind of move from the Easter season. We praise God that we serve a risen Savior, and we serve a risen Savior who gave us the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to be in our hearts as we open up his word. So we're going to go right to our title slide this morning. Go right down to the next slide, if you will, there, Laureen. And I just want us to stop and think about just for a second this morning. And by the way, here's why we need the Lord. Living in this world is tough. And all the people said amen, right? Amen. Yeah, right? Yeah, for sure, right? Submitting to authority and loving our neighbors can even be tougher. I mean, if we're real, again, we could act like church people and say, no, we got that. But I don't think it's true, right? I know for me it's not true. So maybe you have, you know, some friends that this message might be helpful for if it is. But check it out. So what does God really expect from me? And I want to take a look at God's word and kind of dive in and let's figure out what that is all about this morning as we go on. So we're going to slide right on down. And I want to just share with you the title today kind of lays that out. And it's sort of a bit of a trinity as we think about Scripture, right? So we're going to think about these three things, right? Submission, which, by the way, we didn't have to have the whole trinity today. Submission is enough of an issue to deal with, right? And then we're going to talk about love. And then we're going to talk about Jesus. And by the way, those three things tied together, because we can't do the submission part and the love part unless we put on Jesus. It doesn't really work. And we'll talk about that fact as we move on. So the eternal truth I want you guys to get a hold of is this one, right? A well-practiced faith. That's what we're talking about. We had a well-instructed faith we looked at last year. And now we're saying, well, how do I practice this thing that I say I believe? A well-practiced faith is an obedient faith in all areas of life. And I kind of put this in there parenthetically. We are and should be striving for that as a follower of Christ. How many people are followers of Christ? That's why we're here, right? So our striving is that we want to be obedient to God. Everybody be real with me for a second. Is it always easy to be obedient to God? Nope. The flesh is a monster. By the way, yours and mine, all of our flesh. So we struggle with that. So that's what we're striving to do. We're trying to be obedient in all these areas of life. Submission to government is a tough one. We're going to look at that one. Loving your neighbor is no piece of cake either. And we got to put on Christ, and we're going to talk about that. So we're going to slide down. And I read this in my devotion, but I hope you folks, by the way, there's a new one just came out, are enjoying the word for you today as a Devo, or the daily bread, which is that old staple that, you know, has been around forever that just encourages our hearts. But I read in the Word for you today this thought, and it actually just popped in my head. It came back, and here's the thought. You and me, right, are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Now, here's the word. That's just defined terms. People don't say, what's an epistle? What is that? The idea is this: you and me are a living letter that the whole world is reading each and every day. They see it as you drive down your street, sometimes too fast. You know, they see it as you work in your yard. They see it as you help each other out. Like, they see it. They see you on your job. They see you at Walmart when you didn't get what you wanted. They see you everywhere, right? And we are a living epistle. And here's the challenge. I wonder, as we think about that thought, what kind of letter are we? Let that settle for a second. What kind of letter are we? And those three areas, by the way, submission, love, and putting on Christ, is really the key to this idea. So we'll skip on down. And by the way, I want to ask the question. What chapter, right, comes, just as it does, what chapter comes or precedes Romans 13? Don't think real hard. This is a test. It's Romans 12, right? Right. Romans 12. Romans 12 was all about this, right? That our lives, and you can read the verse, right? Our lives are supposed to what? Not be conformed to the world and everyone else and their sinfulness and their madness, but we're supposed to be what? Transformed by the renewing of our minds to be that good and prove God is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I want to skip on down to the next point and kind of start our thoughts and take us down, Miss Laureen, if you would. This is kind of where that led us, right? We were in chapter 12. We learned about none of us are here without the mercy of God. Nobody. You know, nobody's that good. Nobody qualifies. The mercy of God is why we're here. And because of the mercy of God, we're supposed to live a transformed life. And that transformed life plays out in this one, thinking humbly and serving passionately with the gifts that we have, right? And it also looks like this, loving and living like Jesus. Okay? That's what chapter 12 kind of culminated in. That's what we're supposed to be doing, right? So then, and by the way, the epistles of Paul, the letters that Paul writes, like Romans, Corinthians, etc., right? They all start out with a theological part. He gives us the theological basis, our relationship with God is why we ought to do and who we are. And then it gives us a practical part. So chapter 11 and 12 and 13 and beyond up through 15 are this practical piece. And that's what we're going to learn about today. We're going to think about this practical part. So here's the first thing. And let me say this as a preacher, right? I live in the same world you do, right? And I have the same agita that you have, the same issues that you have. So when I come to this passage and living in the day that we live in and all the craziness that goes on out there in the government and out as we respond to what goes on, as I live that out, I'm kind of like, wow, it'd be good to skip this chapter. but in reality, that's why we kind of study the scriptures a lot of times, word by word, verse by verse, because it hits the issues of the day. And it hits us where we need understanding and wisdom. So here's what we're going to think about today. So the Lord Jesus Christ, right, gave us the scriptures and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's the first thing. He gives us the command to submit to government. He gives us, by the way, the concept of that. We're going to talk about this idea is sovereignty, and it has it directs our conduct. And then I want to think about this for a second. Are there limitations? Kind of what's the code? What's the law? What's God trying to express to us? And then I want to think about the Holy Spirit because he helps and he guides us. Because this is not, what they say, black and white. This is one of those kind of gray, wrestling, struggling areas for us, right? So I want us to kind of get this. Now, I want to put this in the right perspective. And here's the right perspective. How many people, listen to this question carefully, how many people over the last 10 years have been angry with the government? 10 years. 10. Raise your hand. You go, are these people from Mars? What are they doing? Are they living in a different world? Do they come from another planet? Are they human? You know, are they educated? We kind of ask all these questions, right? So honestly, right, all of us said, I saw almost every hand up, yep, that's me. And by the way, you know, the last week, we've gone through so much things since COVID and controversy and different presidents. But over the last 10 years, we would incorporate everybody into the mix. By the way, even if we went back to, you know, Ronald Reagan and George Bush, and we've come a quantum leap from those areas, right? Either George Bush, by the way. But we've struggled with decisions that were made and thinking that was communicated. We've struggled with that. We've wrestled with that. And I want to say this, to put this in the right perspective, don't we need some guidance in that area? Because I see Christians doing some crazy stuff, and it looks like we don't know who Jesus is, right? And that's a problem. And remember, I'm going to go back to that living letter idea, right? The world is reading us as a living letter from God. What are they reading? What are they seeing, right? What are they seeing out there? And that's why we need God's direction. So, by the way, don't get mad at me. This is what God's word says. It's not what Gary says, right? I get as mad as you do, but I want to say this. There's a verse in Scripture in the book of James says this. It says that the anger of man, fill it in for me, does not work the righteousness of God. It never does. Never does. Our anger is not usually holy. I cannot remember when I was holy in a way of being angry. Usually I'm angry and you are too because you didn't get what you want. You don't like what's happening, right? That's how we kind of work things in our lives. So anger is a big deal. We're probably going to deal with that issue this little bit this summer coming up. So we're going to deal with this issue right now. So we're going to jump in. So here's the first thing I want you guys to get hold of, right? Here's the teaching of the text. And I kind of combine points A and B together as I want to kind of move and groove a little with this today. But here's the idea. I want you to think about the command that God gives us. And what's the command? Let every soul. By the way, raise your hand if you're in the mix there. I think some of you fell asleep or something. I'm sorry. Every soul. Let every soul. By the way, it doesn't care about your affiliation, your party, or where you live, or whatever. It doesn't matter. Every soul. Be subject to the governing authorities. Look what it says. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For the rulers are not a terror, are not a terror to good works, but to evil. So I want to lay out a couple of concepts. You can just get down the bottom. Here's the first thing. Government, by the way, this sounds like a funny statement, I'll say it. Government is really a gift from God. And some people are going like, oh my. Is there a return line? No, there isn't, right? But here's the point I want you to get a hold of, right? Without government, there is chaos and anarchy. Everyone does. Remember in the book of Judges, it said everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. Could you imagine living in a world like that? Could you imagine driving down Route 130 in a world like that? You understand? So government, its role, it is a gift from God. By the way, it's definitely not perfect because it's made up of human beings like us, but it's a gift from God. And get this in your mind, being subject is a command. In the Greek language, I just put it there, just be correct technically, right? It's passive. In other words, I willingly submit myself to government to do the right thing. It's an imperative. It means it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a neat idea. It's not if you want to. It's a command, right? And then get this in our mind. We use this word sovereignty in the Bible and teaching a lot. Sovereign. And here's what that means. Everybody look up. It means that God is in control of everything. And he gives people an amount of breadth and depth and stretch to do certain things that they want to do. But nobody does something that is outside of the control of God. And by the way, as Paul wrote this letter, he lived in the Roman Empire And the leader of that, the emperor, was Nero. Remember that statement? Nero did what? Nero fiddled while Rome burned. So there isn't like, well, if he's a good leader, I think I might follow him. Or if she's a good leader, I might follow her. There's a certain amount of following we are compelled to do because God told us to do it. Again, that kind of rubs us in our humanness the wrong way, but I'll throw this out. Isn't there a lot of commands that God gives us that kind of feel like they take away our freedom? And I want to say this, but this goes back to all the way to the Garden of Eden. Complete freedom is not a good thing. There needs to be boundaries, and God sets the boundaries in his word, right? So we want to kind of think on for a second. So being subject is a command. The authority that God gives a government is ordained and given, and resisting the government is resisting God. Ooh. Now, please come back next week. This is only one passage, okay? Right? But seriously, right? Doesn't that kind of rub us? It rubs us, doesn't it? There's a little chafing right there, isn't it? Need a little Vaseline or something to fix that, or a Band-Aid or something, but it hurts, right? Right? But that's where we are. This is the truth. This is what Scripture teaches, right? Okay? And it didn't change, by the way. This was written 2,000 years ago under a Roman emperor who was a wicked man. So we're going to go down. Take us down, Lord, please, if you would. So next thing, and when I finish this out, then it says, therefore, by the way, therefore what? Because it's the command and because God's sovereign over everything. So the therefore is there to say, because of what we just learned that was tough, this is what we got to do, okay? So it says, rulers are a deterrent to evil in society and are God's servants for good. And look what it says. It says, therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. So here's the deal. Everybody look up. Anybody ever break the law? Let's just keep this simple, because I know people go, oh, man. Anybody ever break a traffic law? All right. Can you please turn the live stream off? All right. No, I'm kidding, right? All right. So a lot of us have been there. Some of us are going like, right? We all have been there. Many of us have been there, right? And I want us to understand, right? It says, by the way, if you break the law, what happens? You hear that siren, the red light's in the back, your heart begins to beat fast, you get a little sweaty, you open the registration and the insurance card's in the glove box or somewhere you can get it, right? And ultimately, you're hoping they give you a warning, but they usually give you a ticket, right? That's how it goes, right? But rulers are a deterrent to evil in society and are God's servants for good. And I'll throw this out. And we see this on our street. We live on the streets, like kind of set back from the main street. It's not really a main thoroughfare, kind of like Pastor Anthony's street, very similar, right? Cars don't need to go real fast. And sometimes you're like, you know, what are they doing? They're like it's, this is not the racetrack. And we're thinking about our children and grandchildren and dogs and cats. And, you know, that's why we have government and laws. Keep us all safe as best we can, right? So that's the idea. So rulers are a deterrent to evil in society and are God's servants for good. And I'll throw this out. Rulers punish evil. I had to pay on my honeymoon. I probably shared this story before. Jane, how much was the ticket? It's been 37 years almost, but I have never forgot. I was driving in Florida, getting ready, we're coming home, and I think I was going like 70 through like an area where there was construction. And guess what? Oh, Jane's like, what's that sound? Is that for us? And I'm going, no. But it was for us. And I had to pay a big fat ticket after spending all of our money on the honeymoon. Right? So we get it, right? Rulers punish evil. Believers should submit to avoid punishment. But check it out. So, by the way, I don't think I've gotten a speeding ticket since then, have I? I can't remember. I don't think so. I try to be a careful driver, although I have a co-pilot that is really on me many times. But believers, we submit to government to avoid punishment. But here's why. As Christians, we submit because it's a command from God. Right? We keep the law. We got to do what we got to do, right? And I want you, by the way, look what it says. Look at number 6 and 7, verses 6 and 7. It says, "For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render or give, therefore, to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." And all the people said, "Amen." That's sort of a joke, right? Taxes, what? Right? You know, we complain. We complain about all these things, right? But, like, our services are based on our taxes. We don't have services, we don't contribute to the good of everyone, right? So we do those things, but we do those things because we don't want to be punished, and we do those things because we are submitting ultimately to the living God who is our Lord and Savior. That makes sense? That's the understanding, right? So check it out. Believers should submit to avoid punishment, keep a clear conscience of obedience before God. They should pay their taxes and pay proper respect and honor. But I want to ask a question. Is there some limit to that? Like, what about the leader is awful? Is there some limitation there? What do you think? What do you think? The answer is, there is. And Scripture gives us that a little bit, right? But by the way, the general thing is, what do? Submit, right? We do what is good. But here's the question, so there is a limit. Take us to the next verse, please. And check it out. There's a code, right? And by the way, I want you to get this. And this is the words of Jesus, not Gary, not Pastor Ansu, not the deacon board, not anybody else. It says, and Jesus, right, remember, he was with the disciples and he was kind of being confronted. And he took out the coin, which was a Roman coin. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is on this? And by the way, our coins say, "In God we trust." Theirs didn't say that. Okay? And it says, and they said to him, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." So I know when you see the taxes come out of your paycheck, I know when you got to pay extra at the end of the year, I know when you pay sales tax, all those things. Ah! Right? You hate it. But we got to do what God commands us, right? Because I throw this out, ready, look up. We don't want anarchy. We do need services. We do need help. Everyone's not on the same level. We do need those things. And God has ordained that we have them. And by the way, God has given us many good people who serve in government that care about you and me. And I had an opportunity being in the community. We just went to an affair at the hospital. And we have a state senator who cares about us. And I'll share this with you guys. They were celebrating, you know, the hospital is now owned by Virtua. Well, the state senator knows the CEO of the whole Virtua system really, really well. And he said, "You know what? That hospital needs to stay in Willingboro." And guess what? Virtua has made a commitment. That hospital is going to stay in Willingboro. And by the way, interestingly enough, they have the number one Google rating in the emergency service area in all of America. Can you believe it? And it's right there. Like, wow. But we have good people, senators, other people that care. So government can be a good thing, right? It's a good thing. So I want to share with you one more thing. And by the way, Paul says this. Jesus said this. And I'm going to give you one more. Peter, by the way, if anybody be fighting, who would it be? Peter. He chopped off Malchus's ear. He confronted Jesus face to face. If anybody's going to fight the government, it's going to be Peter. Right? And look what he says. He says, "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good, for this is the will of God." that by doing good, check this out, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice or sinfulness, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Can you believe it? Peter even said that. By the way, later on in life, when he got the message and the Holy Spirit had worked the word of God into his heart, that needed a lot of work, just like mine. Amen? Makes sense, right? So we're going to, and by the way, so are there limits? Is this like a carte blanche? Is this a blank check? We're going to talk about that. So let's go to the next slide. By the way, we're going to pick up the rest of the Trinity next time, so don't worry. But check out what it says. And I want you guys to think about this for a minute. There's a passage in the book of Acts, which, by the way, remember, Acts is about what? The church. It's the beginning of us, right? It's the beginning of us living out the Christian life in the power of the Holy Spirit with the Word of God, and we study it, and we love each other, and we care, and we grow, right? That's what it's all about. So check it out. It says, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, and by the way, here was the issue. Peter was commanded by the ruling authorities of the Jewish council called the Sanhedrin, do not preach Jesus. Do not. So here's a question, by the way, you've been there. The government says, do not preach Jesus. The scriptures say, do what? Obey the civil authorities. What am I going to do? I'm in a pickle here. I'm kind of stuck. What am I going to do, right? Check it out. So look what it says. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So this limitation is this, right? If the government begins to tell us to do things that God says don't do, or not to do things that God says do, then who are we answering to first? God. That make sense? Now we have an understanding of what we're going to do, right? We continue. It says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. By the way, this is Peter telling the government what's what? Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. By the way, when you read scripture, you got to kind of watch the details. And this really helps us lay this out. Look what it says. And we are his witnesses to these things. God commanded us to do this, right? And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So everybody, check it out. In your heart is the third member of the Trinity. He can make you feel guilty in a second. He can comfort you in a second. He can direct you in a second. He can lead you to where God wants you to be on these hard, hard decisions that are in the gray, in the areas that we're not quite sure about, right? So it's there. So I want to think about this case. So our job, right, as Christians, that God says is what? We're supposed to submit, but not when it goes against what God says, right? And we're going to flesh this out a little bit more, so stay with me, right? I want to share, by the way, that was Peter and John. They were defying the Sanhedrin, the Council of 70, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the scribes, right, in the book of Acts. Now, can you think of other cases in Scripture? And I can. I did the study, right? Some other cases. Remember Moses? Remember the Pharaoh, who's the government? What did he say? He said, kill all the male children. By the way, you know why? If you're the emperor, it kind of makes sense. It's terrible, but it makes sense. You know why? Because the males are the one who are going to rise up and overflow the government. Right? That's why he said it. So he said, kill all the male babies. Well, guess what? The Hebrew midwives, that's how they did delivery in those days, right? The Hebrew midwives, they said, you know what? They kind of actually told a lie. They said, man, those Hebrew women, they give birth quick. Right? So we can't stop them. They just come out like that. They come out too fast. Hebrew midwives, guess what? They denied the Pharaoh. They disobeyed him. Because God said, thou shalt not kill. Right? Pretty clear case, right? So we have a case for that. How about Daniel? Daniel, I don't want you praying some other gods. You only pray to Nebuchadnezzar. He's the emperor, and he's God. Guess what? Is it three or four times? I forgot. I think it's three times a day. Guess what Daniel did? Prayed to God. That's what got him tossed into the lion's den. And God shut the lion's mouth and saved Daniel. Right? Honored that decision, right? How about Daniel and his friends? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Same issue, right? Bow down. Is it, you know what? You got the power to kill me, but I'm not bowing down to you. I'm only going to bow down to God. Cast those guys into the fiery furnace. They walk around. There's a fourth member in there who looks like the Son of God, who was, God spared their lives, right? Makes sense, right? And I want to say this. There are times and places that we can't submit to the government. And that time and place is when that person or that decree is defying the living God. Does that make sense? So now we kind of understand how to make this decision, right? And I'll throw this out by case study. Anyone ever heard of the American Revolution? We used to drink a whole lot of tea, and we used to be English. But our government, the English government, the king, was overthrown. Right? So here's the question. Did the people that we cherish, George Washington, Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death, did those people break the commandment of God? I know y'all want to say no, but by the way, they did break the commandment of God. And I'll throw this out. Great preachers were on both sides. Some said, absolutely, throw all the tea into Boston Harbor. And some said, oh, be passive, be loving. You be kittens, you Christians. Some said that. So there was this battle going on, right? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And the thought was, by the way, is that that king was a tyrant. And he was executing tyranny and commanding the people to do things that were not right. He literally broke British law by some of his decrees. We heard of the Boston Tea Party. Ever hear of the Boston Massacre? There was a protest, civil disobedience. And the answer to the civil disobedience was the British troops shot everyone dead. And they said, this cannot go on. And I'll throw this out. Looking in the rearview mirror, it seems like that God has blessed this country of America. That maybe that rebellion, although they broke God's law of submitting, they did it because the things that the king was doing were wrong. Gives us a little example, right? So I want to throw this out. We don't live in a country where there's a king. You know, we have government. We have three branches of government. And again, we're struggling sort of who has what power, who does what. I get it. I live in the same world you do. I'm mad too. I watch the news, all different channels, and, you know, they get me mad on both sides, right? Right? But check it out. So how do I discern what do I do? How do I discern that? And here's the answer. The work of the Holy Spirit is to help us discern truth. Does that make sense? I need the Holy Spirit to help me figure it out. This is not just gray. This is real gray. I can't figure it out sometimes. What's going on here, right? What do I do? The work of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, how do I... The Holy Spirit, right? He brings Scripture to our mind. He brings principles to our minds. And by the way, all of us guys have the Holy Spirit. So I want to throw this out. We have seen many protests in our country. Some, by the way, have been very peaceful, very positive, very good. And some have been very destructive and harmful and hurtful, right? And government has responded all different ways and made, you know, statements, excuses, and all these different things, right? How do I figure out what we ought to do? And let me say this, everybody look up. We as a people are living letters, right? So just imagine this picture for a second. I was thinking about this. Imagine you teach Sunday school here at the church. You work in Awana. You get to meet the kids and their parents. And imagine you're part of some action of protest that goes over the line and becomes sin. What kind of living letter are you? Or am I, right? By the way, we need to use the system that our government's given us. We have three branches. We have state senators. We have representatives. You know, we can reach out. We can vote. We can do all those things. We have a process. And by the way, we even have something called impeachment. But we can't impeach judges because we don't like their decision. We have to go through the process of the courts and appeal things that we don't think are right. We can say things, but we need to act like Christians first. Does that make sense? Can you imagine being like a youth leader with Pastor Ansu, and a parent comes up and says, "Oh, didn't I see you with that awful riot down at the plaza?" Like, think about the living letter that that writes. And by the way, we get a chance to kind of meet people in the community, Pastor Ansu and I, especially working with the hospital, other different things. And a lot of times I hear about you guys, and it's good. And the living letter that you're writing is beautiful. They're saying, wow, those people care. In fact, I'll share with you guys, Virtua Hospital sent our food pantry a check for $1,000 because we care about this community. Isn't that kind of cool? That's kind of cool. So the living letter that we're writing is generally good. So we have to control ourselves and our anger and the issues that we struggle with so that the letter we write is beautiful. And it lifts up Jesus, and people say, that's why those people are like they are. Does that make sense? And I want to add one last point about this, and we're done for today. And here's this one. And by the way, some people kind of chafe at this one, too. Let me ask you guys a question. How many people in the congregation who are believers have the Holy Spirit in their heart? You don't have to be shy. I'm not asking about speeding tickets. How many people, right? Everybody does. Everybody does. So I want to throw this out. If you are wrestling with and struggling with a decision, the Holy Spirit may be, guiding you or moving in you in a certain way. How do I check that what I'm about to do makes sense and is biblical and is Christ-like and is godly? And here's the answer. The counsel of godly people. And I didn't put those verses up there, but those verses basically say one thing. There is wisdom in the counsel of many counselors who know Jesus and who have the Holy Spirit. By the way, let me ask a question. Everybody look up again. Here's the question. Is anybody batting 1,000 on decision making? Raise your hand. Christianity Hall of Fame. You're batting 1,000. You've never made a mistake. Every decision you make is right on. All right. Seeing that none of us have batted 1,000, that's why we need each other. And I'll tell you that. That's why we have pastor, associate pastor, deacons. Even we make a decision at church, and we come to the congregation because we really can't do much. We can spend $4,000 without you. Nobody's going anywhere good with that, right? Without you. But guess what? We all come to a vote. We all share a voice. We all say, I don't know about this, right? You know why? Because the Holy Spirit works in everybody, and we need clarity and direction. And if we can practice that there, don't we need it personally? I have not batted 1,000 personally either. Right? None of us would be in the Hall of Fame with our batting averages on decision, probably. But you know what? Our batting average would go up a whole lot if we would listen to the Holy Spirit and seek and listen to the counsel of each other. And by the way, I'm thirsty, I better cup just for a second. So I don't mean that. If you're a teenager, ask all your teenage friends so you can convince your parents to do something that's crazy. I don't mean that, right, at all, right? I mean, seek mature. By the way, I'm sorry, teens. It's just that you guys haven't experienced life, right? You haven't experienced life like that, right? Sammy's not going to be my friend anymore. No, I'm kidding. But you guys haven't experienced life. But when I go to a seasoned believer who's been around the block more than once and has walked with Christ and seen him lead and direct and change things that are unchangeable, those are the people I seek the counsel from. Doesn't that make sense? And then I can know what to do. So if you're in your mind, you say, I am so mad at this government. We're going down and we're going to go do this. Check the scripture, check the Holy Spirit, and check the wise brothers and sisters to see if that makes any sense. Because we're living letters, right? Amen? So we're going to stop. Deacons are going to come. As the deacons are getting ready to come, I want to just kind of tie this up real quick. Everybody look up for a sec. Does that kind of make sense? By the way, isn't this a tough area? It's tough, right? That's what God wants us to do. We'll complete the love and putting on Jesus part. I'll just say this part. I cannot live like that unless the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is active in my life every single day. And I can't live that part unless we are all working together and encouraging and counseling and helping each other make good decisions. So I want to challenge us, right? We got to grow, and we got to lean on the power of the Holy Spirit in each other to make good choices in really tough areas. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're going to pray. Father God, thank you for your word. I pray, dear God, that you would just speak to our hearts, Lord, in the way that we need it, Lord. We are so just ginned up by all the politics and all the things that go on. Lord, we just live angry lives. And Lord, we need your direction. We need your care, your wisdom, and your power to live out things in the right way. And Lord, I just ask that you would just work in our hearts and our minds. Father God, just work in us as only you can, I pray. And I ask these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Miss Rosemary is going to play a couple of hymns about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. As our deacons come, if you did not get the elements, just raise your hand. They're going to serve you guys. Except if you did not get a cup yet. We praise God, right? Calvary covers it all. Isn't that great? It covers all the bad decisions that I made and you made and we all made. And deacons, we're ready for you guys once everybody's served. Just come on up. But we praise God that Calvary does indeed cover it all. So as we begin, our deacons are here, Pastor Ansu's here as well. I just want to stop for a minute and say, you know what? We probably made a mess of what we learned today already, at least in our hearts. But we praise God, Calvary covers it all. Amen. Jesus died to pay the price for every sin. And today, as we have on the board behind us, communion, as we come together as the body of Christ, it's all about remembering his sacrifice. What Jesus did, selflessly, purposefully, that you and I could have a relationship with the living God. You know, 1 John says these words, we love him because he first loved us. Right? And as we stop and we think about that, Jesus in his love sacrificed his body and shed his blood, that the penalty for sin could be paid for all of eternity, and that the power of sin that we just talked about could be broken for all of eternity, that we could live lives that glorify God. And one day, you know what? The very presence of sin when we get to heaven will be gone. Can you imagine? We're going to be in a place where sin does not exist. In my heart, in my mind, in my family, in the world. There'll be no more sin. That's heaven in itself, isn't it? Can you imagine what that would be like? Amazing. And we owe it all to the Lord Jesus Christ. So my brother, Dennis Rothwell, is going to pray for the bread, if you would.
I often say, let us pray. But today I'm going to say, let us give thanks for God sending his son to die on the cross for our sins, not his. He was perfect. He came here to die for us. So I say thank you. Lord, I thank you for sending your son. I thank you for allowing him to have a broken body on the cross, to bear the pain and the suffering for us, Lord, because without him, we would not have hope. So, Father, once again, I thank you for this day. I thank you for making all of this possible and sending your son who suffered humiliation, pain, and suffering for us, Father. Let us all be constantly reminded that it was for us that he did this. It was not his will, but yours, Father. I thank you for this. All these things I give praise to in your honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you do me a favor? Just take out that bread for a second. And before we digest that, would you just take a minute and just think about where you are with the Lord? There's probably some sin going on. There is for me. And would you just confess that to God and say, God, please forgive me for that sin and restore my relationship fully with you and help me to change. Amen. Let's partake of that bread. The broken body of Jesus is represented by the bread that he gave for us.
Amen. You know, Dennis said something concerning giving thanks. And it was just something that I was about to talk about giving thanks, right? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 25, Jesus was about to share the Lord's Supper with his disciples. And the scriptures say, and he had given thanks. Imagine Jesus preparing himself to be crucified for us. But he thanking God for what he's about to go through. And then he said, likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup. So he obviously must have given thanks for his blood that he's about to share. So in the same manner, he said, he took the cup after saying, this cup is a new covenant. And what I'm trying to say is that, how many of us think about that and say, thank you, God, for giving yourself, for sharing your blood? We cannot thank God more about Jesus dying, but how many will rise up in the morning and just say, Lord, thank you for another day.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you that I'm alive. I may not accomplish A, B, C, but I'm accomplishing life. I'm alive because of you. And most importantly, thank you that I'm part of your kingdom. If Jesus can be thankful for his death for our sake, we ought to be thankful to God that we have the opportunity to share and be part of him because of what he's done.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Gordon, going to pray for the element of the wine.
Yeah, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can be here to remember the greatest gift you gave us when you gave us Jesus, and that he spilled his blood on the cross for us, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that he rose again on the third day to give us eternal life. We thank you for these things and everything that we have. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let us open together. And if Christ can be thankful for the opportunity to die for us, we ought to be more thankful to be able to share part of his kingdom and his death, his burial, his resurrection.
Amen.
So we're going to drink together and just celebrate. Amen.
Thanks, bro. Thank you, Pastor Ansi. Our praise team is going to come, and by the way, we're going to sing a song, and the song's about amen, and amen means I agree. Even when it's tough, I agree that God knows what he's doing, and he's going to tell me the right thing to do, and we praise God that we agree. It's wonderful to be in the body of Jesus Christ in the house of the Lord. So we got to say amen, right? Amen. And here's the challenge. Not just to say amen with our mouth, but to say amen in our heart and in our will. To do what God says. Definitely we have to say amen and thank you for the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. Amen to that. We're going to have our Bible school kickoff. There is a luncheon served for those that are going to be part of the Vacation Bible School. I know it's like lunch. All right, let's go. But it's for those people that want to be a part or are thinking real serious about being a part. That's in our gym. And we want to wish you guys a great week, a great day of praising God. And I hope a life that is really a living letter of the change that Jesus is making in our lives. Pastor Anson is going to pray us out.
Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the opportunity to hear your word and what they have in store for us. And Lord, even as we heard, may we not only be the hearer, but be the doer of your word. And help us, oh God, to overcome those setbacks and situations, oh God, that may cause us not want to do what you have called us to do. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that continues to convict us. We just pray, Lord, as we leave, we're not leaving your presence. But you go with us and bring us back again, oh God. As we come to honor you, we commit the rest of our week into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.